Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. It begins in your church Bibles on page 837. Please stand if you are able as we read from the New Testament. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Please be seated.
Let's pray. Father, we praise you for revealing your glory in the beauty of art, in drama, in music, Lord, in the visual arts, in literature. Praise you, Father, that you have called us to employ our gifts to the praise of your name. And now, Lord, let your glory be revealed in the beauty of preaching. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, her name was a Woolly Robin. And I'll never forget the day that she walked into the school building where Ekinisio Bulnesi Bushaka New Life Church met for worship in Fort Portal, Uganda. I won't forget it because a Woolly's nose was missing from her face. There was a hole where her nose should have been. Her eyes were red and rimless. Her lips were gone. And what few teeth she had in her mouth stuck out at odd angles all over the place. Imagine a skull with skin. That's what a Woolly looked like. And neither will I forget the day I first crossed paths with the man who lived in the forested field just beyond our house on Injara Hill. When he walked from there to town, he covered his head with a burlap bag, and he had a fragrant eucalyptus branch which he carried over his shoulder. The bag was to keep people from looking at his disfigured face, and the branch was to keep them from smelling the odor that came out from underneath the bag. And this man, like a Woolly Robin, was an omugenge, a leper. And we saw plenty of misery while we were in Uganda, grinding poverty, the ravages of war, undernourished babies with distended bellies, drunks who slept in the middle of muddy roads, even a bloated corpse floating in the shallows of the Nile River once. But though heart-rending, none rivaled the misery of people who suffered from untreated leprosy. Leprosy, or Hansen's disease. It's an infection caused by bacteria which inflame nerve endings so that sufferers lose their sense of touch. Lepers are insensitive to burns and bruises. They can't feel cuts. They can't feel wounds. And because they don't notice when they've been bruised or cut, they don't attend to their wounds, which become infected and go untreated until it's too late and a toe, a finger, or a nose falls off. And with disfigurement like this comes alienation from others. People avoid lepers, and lepers avoid people because, frankly, it's unsettling to be around them. With alienation comes isolation, and with isolation comes despair. which explains why, I think, Mark, the gospel writer, wrote that a man with leprosy, on crossing paths with a man who had a growing reputation for healing diseases of all kinds, would fall to the ground and beg that man, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." You know, desperation, understandably, drove this man to desperate action. His condition didn't afford him the opportunity to be casual or half-hearted when he learned that someone who had the power to heal him, to cleanse him, was passing by. He was wretched. His situation was hopeless. And then suddenly, there's this man on the scene about whom people are saying he casts out demons. And when they leave, they shout, "You're the Son of God." He rebukes fevers, and they go. He restores sight to the blind. Why? He healed every single sickness in the town of Capernaum. You should have been there. And so down he went, on his knees, face to the ground, without a thought about what it looked like to others. Wouldn't you do what this leper did if your situation was like his? Well, based on how shameless and immodest I know I can be when my life is on the line, I think you would, and I know I would. You know, back when I was in ninth grade, I joined the track team, and on the first day of practice, the whole team had to line up in front of the school's doctor for a physical exam, which included the standard test for a hernia. Got the picture? Well, it wouldn't have been a problem for me, except that the doctor was a woman. And for fear of that 10-second examination, I came this close to quitting the track team right there, right then. Fast forward to 2004. It's 2 in the morning, and suddenly there's a pain in my belly that's as bad as anything I've ever experienced, brought on by a gallstone. Sally rushes me to North Penn Hospital, and while she completes the paperwork, I'm on the emergency room floor, on my hands and knees, rocking back and forth, moaning like a cow in labor. Now, the pain was crazy bad. I wanted relief. I was desperate. Modesty went out the window. And the doctor was once again a woman. And guess what? I didn't care. She could have asked me to do just about anything legal. And I would have done it if the end result would have been pain relief. Well, that's where this man was. Times 10, times 100. That's where I would be and where I suspect you would be too if you were suffering from a sickness as serious as leprosy, and learned that a man who was healing people by a word of command was passing by. Yeah, I would have rushed over to him, fallen on my knees, put my face to the ground, and begged him for help. So why aren't we? Why aren't we more often on our knees, earnestly begging that man for help? Since we do suffer from a sickness which is as terrible as leprosy, and which he repeatedly claims he's able to cure. Now, the sickness which I have in mind, of course, is, as you've probably guessed, sin. Now, in fact, the close connection between leprosy and sin in the world of the Bible is why Mark includes this story at the very beginning of his gospel. The healing of this leper is a literary device. It's a way for Mark to dramatize his core message. The Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. You know, Mark is as much as saying, if Jesus could heal a leper, could make him clean, then he can cure us of everything that leprosy has come to represent. Sin, shame, estrangement, hopelessness, come to him. You know, the Bible uses dozens of word pictures to convey the awfulness of sin. It's a crushing burden, persistent stain, an unpayable debt, a tyrant that reigns in us through death. But of all these word pictures, the most disturbing biblical metaphor for sin is, I think, leprosy. Because leprosy conjures visions of the worst outcomes of sin. Monstrous disfigurement, alienation from ourselves, from others, from God, disease management, but no cure, at least back in biblical days, and at last, death. You know, if sin had a sacramental sign, some visible outward symbol of an inward reality, leprosy would be it. You want to know what your soul and sin nature look like to a holy God? Well, the Bible answers. Find a leper. Look at her. Look at him. Then you'll know. You know, like leprosy, sin is an infection that can go undetected for years. It lies dormant in us, incubating, then manifests, spreads, takes over until it leaves us disformed, isolated, and finally dead if unacknowledged and untreated. Still more, sin, like leprosy, numbs its victims. It makes us senseless to our true condition. But where leprosy makes it impossible for lepers to feel cuts and bruises to their bodies, sin distorts our ability to feel how much others have cut and bruised our souls. Now, because of sin, we either underestimate or we exaggerate the impact of the mistreatment that we've suffered at the hands of others. Similarly, sin dulls our ability to recognize how much we ourselves cut and bruise the souls of others. You know, it leaves us living with a double standard. What you do to me, that's inexcusable. What I do to you, well, there are reasons for that. All of us have been hurt by others, and all of us have caused others hurt. All of us are victims of wrongdoing, and all of us are agents of harm. And sin horribly warps the way we experience both. And such is the leprosy of sin. Unlike leprosy, though, which has always been limited to certain populations and is, fortunately, in our day, in decline around the world, sin always has been, is now, and always will be universal. Which means that every single one of us here in this room, men and women, young and old, rich and poor, black and white, Democrats and Republicans, Virginia Tech and VCU alumni, are spiritual lepers of one kind or another, to one degree or another. Every one of us, by rights, should call out, unclean, unclean, as we go about our daily business. Now, what to do? The leper's story tells us. Do as Mark's leper did, and let Jesus do for you what he did for him. I want to use the rest of our time to take a closer look at his story, but before we do that, let me, for just a minute, hit the pause button so that we can get our bearings. Have you noticed? We're not talking about covenants this morning. Do I hear an amen? That was a tough sermon series to preach. I don't know what it was like to hear. We are instead talking about Jesus, especially one man's encounter with Jesus. And we're doing that because this is the first sermon in our summer sermon series, Encounters with the Christ. Starting today and until the end of August, our plan is to watch different people encounter Jesus, to observe the way they approach him, and to note how he responds to them so that we can learn in turn how we should or should not approach Jesus and how we should interact with others. Okay? That said, let's hit the play button again. Let's go back to this morning's story. Back to our leper and his encounter with the Christ. What did Mark's leper do that we should do for ourselves? For starters, Mark's leper was straight up about his need. He didn't deny that he was a leper or that his life was horribly upended because of his leprosy. Now, admittedly, it would have been hard for him to deny that he was a leper because, according to Luke's telling of the story, he was covered with leprosy. The soles of his feet, his shins, his thighs, his belly, his chest, his back, his neck, his face, and his scalp were probably a mass of open, running sores. And he couldn't be in denial about its impact on his life because the laws of Israel required him to separate from his family, from his community, even to steer clear of routine human contact. Now, according to Leviticus 13, the person with leprosy must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face, cry out, unclean, unclean, and live alone outside the camp. See, living in denial was not an option for him because he was outed by the laws of the land. We, on the other hand, are able to deny that we're infected with sin, even when it's breaking out all over, and we're masters at covering up its effects in our lives. We posture, we wear masks, we minimize, we point fingers. We look for other explanations. We distract ourselves. We change jobs. We change where we live. We change friends. We change churches. We change spouses. We even change gods. Anything to avoid a meaningful reckoning with our sin, which is the root cause of what ails us. Now, would you like to change that? Do you want to deal denial, a death blow? Well then, just ask your spouse if you're married, or your roommate if you're not. Ask your parents if you're a teenager, or your teenager if you're a parent. What is it like to live on the other side of me when I'm not on my best behavior? Really, try it. This afternoon, over lunch, or this evening after dinner, instead of turning on the television set or spending time on Facebook, ask someone who knows you to tell you what you are like behind closed doors. And bring a notepad with you when you do. Because if they're honest with you, and if you're really open to hearing what they have to say to you, you will be muttering, unclean, unclean, by the end of the conversation, and asking them, is it okay for me to sleep on the couch in the basement tonight? At which point, you'll want to notice this second thing about Mark's leper. Though his situation was a desperate one, he's actually hopeful when we meet up with him. Though he's sick with a crippling disease that will eventually kill him, his impassioned plea for help rings with confidence. He as much as says, look, I'm begging you because I know I could wake up from this nightmare with your help. With your help, new life begins. Now, this is a scene and a sentence that boggles the mind and staggers the imagination. Lepers were under orders to keep their distance, even to warn others, stay away, don't come close to me. But he dares to draw near to Jesus. He was defiled and untouchable, and anyone and anything he touched would be likewise defiled. And yet there he was, against all odds, in defiance of social convention, and contrary to every reasonable expectation, at the feet of Jesus. And here's Mark's point. Nothing about anyone's condition should ever keep them from coming to Jesus. You know, what is the flavor of your leprosy? Are you a cheat? Are you a thief? Are you an embezzler? Are you a control freak? Are you a critic? Are you bitter, self-hating, self-harming? Are you contemptuous of others? Are you a racist? Do you ignore the cries of the poor? Do you despise the rich? Do you act out sexually? Do you abuse alcohol, drugs, or food? Do you have a secret life that no one knows about? Does the guilt of something that you did in the past haunt you? And look, look, says Mark. If a leper dared to come close to Christ, you can too. But more remarkable still is what he says while he's there at his feet. That Jesus, if he was willing, was able to reverse the curse of his leprosy and make him clean. Even though there was no known cure for leprosy at that time. Even though his leprosy was at stage 4. Even though he was a stranger to Jesus and had no claims on Jesus, still he was sure Jesus of Nazareth could make him clean if he was willing. Which moves me to wonder, where did this confidence in Christ's ability to heal him come from? Well, likely as not, he had heard what Jesus had done for others. That he commanded those evil spirits to leave their victims, and they obeyed. That he rebuked that fever, and it left. That entire town brought all of their sick to Jesus and healed every single one of them. So that news about Jesus spread quickly over the entire region of Galilee. If he did it for them, the man must have reasoned, he could do it for me. Now the takeaway from this, any one of us who has a Jesus story to tell should tell it. And all of us should listen to stories of Christ's work in the lives of others. Now, if you are upstairs in room 206 in that gospel-centered marriage class for the last few weeks, you heard the Dows, the Wildes, the Cains, and the Joyces vulnerably, courageously tell a crowd of about 100 people the details of their leprosy. They basically said, we want you to look and see, this is how we're sick, and this is how our sickness is affecting us as husbands and wives. We've hated each other. We've hid from each other. We've been critical of each other. Our behavior with each other brought us close to divorce. But Jesus. Why'd they tell the stories? It wasn't for the sake of putting themselves on display. It was in order to lift up the name of Christ and let everyone in the room know, as he did it for us, he can do it for you. That's the hope of telling those stories. It's what I hope happened for the people being there. So here's what our leper did about his leprosy and what we might do for ourselves about our leprosy. He admitted his condition. He listened to what others said about Jesus. He came to Jesus and he asked Jesus for help. And what did Jesus do in response? How did he make him clean, and how does he make us clean? Well, based on my reading of Mark's report, it was a two-step process. Step number one, he looked at the man with compassion. The other day, sitting right back there in that cry room, that conference room, where I always sit during our weekly staff meetings, I noticed that I could see what was going on in the schoolyard across the street because the shade had been removed from my office window in preparation for the work that's going to be done on all of the offices here in the building in the next couple of weeks. And as I looked, I saw children having a great time on the playground across the street, running back and forth, nothing out of the ordinary, not a big deal. But then I saw a boy in an electric chair, chasing after the other children, first one way, and then the other, back and forth. Just like our Ben used to go back and forth in his electric wheelchair. And something cracked inside of me. I remembered what it was like for Ben to lose his ability to walk. And what it meant for him to be in a wheelchair. And what it meant for us to watch him try to keep up with his playmates. And suddenly I was looking at that boy across the street in that wheelchair with compassion. See, my heart was going out to him. I identified with him. I connected with him. I was filled with care for him. I was sending mental waves of love and light and joy and happiness in his direction. That's how Jesus looked at that leper. That's how he looks at us. He looks at us with tenderness. He looks at us with genuine care. He looks at us like that because he's a sympathetic high priest who knows what it's like for us to live on this side of Eden. Because he has been tempted in every way just like we are. And he's suffered as we suffer, but without sin. Now you know this about Christ, right? You know that that's how Jesus looks at you, right? If not, well, then look and see. Observe that look of compassion because it's step number one in the process that leads to healing. Don't pass it by. And step number two, he touched him. Now, given everything that I've already said about leprosy, you know that this is not an incidental, insignificant observation of Mark's. Neither is it an offhanded, empty gesture on the part of Jesus. Because by touching that man, he rocked his world. Now, the Gospels are full of stories about the touch of Jesus. When he came to Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus and begged him, touch him. Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a fever. He touched her hand. The fever left her. The crowd brought a man who was deaf and begged Jesus to lay his hands on him. But of all those touches, this one may have been the most significant because by touching a man for whom touch was outlawed, Jesus welcomed him back into the community of the living. He touched me. As Jeff so beautifully dramatized as he sang. It was like water in a field running down my legs and into my feet, through my arms and into my hands. New life in barren places. And touching him, he signaled his intention to heal him, since to be healed of leprosy was to feel again, was to have the sense of touch restored. I straightened up and I lifted my head, said Jeff's leper. I knew I was better because I felt his breath on my face. But most important of all, by touching the leper, Jesus rehearsed the gospel. Because you see, when he stretched out his arm and he laid his hand on that leper's shoulder, he dramatically represented the core message of the entire Bible and the heart of the good news, since by touching the leper, Jesus defiled himself as he would again defile himself when he allowed a woman with an issue of blood to touch him so that she could be healed, and again defiled himself when he took the limp hand of a dead girl into his before bringing her back to life. And again defiled himself when he deliberately put his hand on the coffin of the widow's son outside the city of Nain. In every one of these situations, and others like them, the law said, whoever does this, touches a leper, touches a woman who's had a discharge of blood for many days, touches a dead body, shall be unclean and shall be cut off from Israel. Some observe these things about Jesus and they say, oh, this Jesus, he was a rebel. He was flaunting the law. He was sticking it to the man. But no, These gestures weren't acts of rebellion. They were signals which said, it's time. I'm here. Your Messiah. Your champion. I'm going to take up your infirmities and carry your sorrows. I'm going to be pierced for your transgressions and crushed for your iniquities. You're going to be healed because I'm going to be wounded. And the punishment that will bring you peace will be upon me. And so when the time came for him to be cut off from Israel, to be cut off from the community of men, to be cut off from God, to be crucified, to be made sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God, might be made clean through and through. He didn't shrink from the task, but he set his face like flint, and for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. So, of course, the big question is, have you allowed Jesus to touch you? You know, the rest of the leper's story, I think, is icing on the cake. The Lord's, yes, I'm willing, and his word of command, be clean, by which the leper was healed, are denouement. But that touch, that's key. Now, what's the flavor of your leprosy? What's your besetting sin? What's your shame? Will you let Jesus touch you there to bear it away? Will you let him touch you there to make atonement for it? Will you let him touch you to make you clean? Now look, throughout the summer we're going to listen in as all kinds of people encounter Jesus. Skeptics, doubters, the bereaved, the traumatized, crooks, kings. And we're going to be amazed and moved by the way Jesus engages with them. But this leper and the way the Lord received him is where it all begins. After everything has been said about Jesus, this stands out above them all. He came to save sinners. He came to make us clean. Let him clean you. And if he has, then share your story. Share your Jesus story with others. Jesus commanded this leper not to tell anyone about his healing as much out of practical necessity as anything, since as the news about Jesus spread, people came to him from everywhere and he could no longer enter a town openly. Not so with us. To us, he says, now go. Go into all of the world and preach the good news. Your family needs to hear this. Your neighbors need to hear this. Your employers and your co-workers need to hear this. Richmond needs to hear this. The ends of the world need to hear this. He's willing and he's able. Us all clean. Let's pray. Oh, Father, that you ever came as close to us as you did, that you became one of us, and becoming one of us, you did not stand apart from us, but you threw yourself right into the middle of the mess. And you didn't just kind of touch us. You laid yourself on us. You hugged us. You held us. You put your hand where it hurt and you said, give it to me. And we thank you for that, Lord. Now, dear Lord, touch us. Cleanse us so that we can go out into all the world declaring, he's made me clean. He can make you clean too. In the name of of Jesus. Amen.